always standing in the same old yard, always singing in the same garage, always singing in the same garage.
Host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver, British Columbia, on the University of British Columbia campus. And today we're joined, we have a guest on the phone, and we also have a guest in studio, Hannah. You want to say hi? Sorry, I didn't move
Hello.
Your mic.
Hello.
Hannah is a co-op student.
Yes, from Earl Marriott.
A high school student learning about radio. So she's sitting in on the show today, and she may ask a question or may just stay quiet. We'll leave that up to her. And so, and your mic's off now. So we are joined today by Judy Reeves. She is the author of Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness. And Judy is a writer, teacher, and writing practice provocateur who has written 4 books on writing, including the award-winning A Writer's Book of Days. And in addition to leading private writing groups, Judy teaches at UC San Diego Extension and San Diego Writers, Inc., a nonprofit literary organization that she co-founded. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be there.
Thanks for
hi,
being
Hannah.
With me. Oh, and Hannah, can you hear? Yeah, she said hi.
Hi.
Isn't it exciting? Hi. She's a high school student. I'm so excited. I wish I got to come and sit at a radio station when I was in high school.
It's been very cool.
Me too. I love radio.
Cool. Well, Judy, you on the phone before we started the show, you said you didn't know what to expect. And truthfully, I don't really know what to expect today either. I've had a crazy weekend and literally was just, I mean, it's been insane, but so I just want to jump right in and talk about all this juicy wildness that you're writing about. Tell us, what is the intention for readers of Wild Women, Wild Voices?
Thanks so much. And by the way, I love surprises, and so whatever happens, I'm good with that.
Woohoo!
The intention of the book, actually, Wild Women, Wild Voices, it came out of a writing workshop that I have done for many years called Wild Women Writing Workshop, and I just felt like the material could go deeper, and there could be more that we could do, and so I wanted to bring it together in a book. What it is, basically, I want to encourage women to be in touch with that authentic wildness, that wild nature inside of them, and to be able to live their life from that place and to write their stories, their memories, and look back and find it again and bring it forth so that, you know, they can live this way in the world, more in touch with that authentic self. And so when I say wild, I'm not talking about what stays, you know, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. I'm not talking about that kind of wild. I'm talking about this creative, responsive, deeper soul spirit stuff that all women have. And when they hear the words wild and women put together, you know, there's this kind of excitement that stirs in them. And that's what I'm trying to reach, and who I want to reach, and who I want to be able to use the book.
Mm. So you do workshops. Now, obviously, people read books generally on their own. Is the intention to build community around this, or to work through our writing on our own?
You know, the book can be used either way. I didn't have the book in the workshops before. I was just, you know, developing them week by week, and we would write on the various topics. So the book is set up so that a woman can use it by herself, and it's not necessarily chronologically going from birth all the way through death, although it does start with wild child, wild girl, and it does end with death, but in between, it's not a chronological thing. And in the back of the book is an appendix that tells women how they could start their own Wild Women writing group if they would like to, or even just work with one other person. My experience is I love community. This is one of the reasons that I teach, one of the reasons that I do writing groups, is just I just feel like more can happen for us when we're in community. I find that I take more risks, for example. What's reflected back to me from someone else helps me see myself more clearly. So either way, whichever way women are more comfortable doing it, and men can do it too if they can kind of get through that whole idea of it being wild women. But the explorations that are in the book are not, many of them are gender-based, but some of them are not either. So I've had men come to some of the talks that I've given and do some of the writing that we do in the talks, and they have a lot of fun with it. So I don't want to discourage them too much.
Cool. Well, you actually talk about women and how we are just naturally, biologically drawn to create bonds and community. And I really love that, because when we can share like a creative bond, it really strengthens it, I think. Sorry, I'm totally out of it today. I literally came in and Hugo was like, can someone sit in? And I'm like, if she doesn't mind that, I have no idea what I'm doing today. So I'm just flying by the seat of our pants, and I totally, I apologize for that. I'm just trying to get my thoughts in order. But I mean, this,
you don't sound any more scattered than I do.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
I think we're doing great.
But this whole sense of community and our female need for well, I mean, I guess it's a human need for connection.
Yeah. But there is something, and I, you know, in writing the book, I did some research about this, and there have been a couple of studies that have shown this to be true, that women actually in the womb, baby tiny little things before we're even born in the world, our brains are developing in a different way than boys' brains do, and of course we all know that. But what happens for women is that that sense of empathy, connection, that need for communication, all of that begins to be developed right there in the womb. And so there was here's kind of how it works. This is an example I used in the book, that let's imagine that we're in the caves, right, and back in the day, and the woolly beast is coming to the door, and what the men will do is that, you know, fight or flight thing. They'll get their clubs and they'll start either going after the beast or they'll run like hell. But where the women will come together, they'll gather up the children, they'll come together, and they'll begin to figure out ways, what could we do to survive this? So there's that basic difference between our brain, you know, the hard wiring in our brains, that we just do things differently. You've been in communities of women, have you, Marie?
I do, but, you know, most of my friends are guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to encourage you to find a group of women. I'm telling you, there's something that happens. When I was a little girl, my mother had, in those days, they called them coffee klatches, and the women, because there were so many stay-at-home mothers in those days, and the women would all come together, oh, at 10 o'clock or 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and have coffee together and sit around the table, and they'd talk and they'd laugh. And I used to crawl underneath the table and just kind of hide under there quietly so I could hear the stories these women told. And the way they laughed, oh, my God. It just, you know, it is just wonderful, that kind of laughter that happens with a group of women. And the stories that get told and the trust that is there. And from that, you know, from that time forward, I have been involved with groups of women somehow or another.
Well, we are talking about, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness. It's the latest book by Judy Reeves, who is the author of A Writer's Book of Days. And Judy, let's talk about this authentic wildness. I'm all about authenticity, and wild sounds like a lot of fun too. So what is authentic wildness?
When I talk about authentic wildness, I know that word gets thrown around a lot these days, but for me, and the way I use it in the book, and hopefully in my life, you know, a lot of us spend our days doing the next thing rather than being present in the now moment. We follow the shoulds and the ought tos rather than making choices based on this internal intuitive knowing of our, you know, of our true nature. So instead of living and speaking and writing according to this knowing that we allow ourselves to be defined and shaped by our culture, by our family, our religion, and other rule-making and limit-setting people or organizations. And so when I talk about writing about our authentic wildness, I don't mean, you know, breaking all the rules and living rebelliously outside of society. I'm referring more to this deep, innermost, kind of vibrant, responsive, creative self that maybe we've lost touch with or we've set aside in our efforts to be liked or accepted or to get along or just to, you know, to do the things that we're required to do on a daily basis, like you know, running into the studio and just sitting down and like, okay, I push this button, I put these earphones on, I do this. And then you breathe into that authenticity of what you want to talk about on the radio today. You know, you get present with it. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
And then we go for a wild ride. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hannah, the co-op student, has a question for you.
Okay.
Well, I was just listening in, and I heard how you talked about your mother's coffee and how you loved listening into those stories. Do you think that your mother influenced you to write this book?
Oh, Hannah, this is so interesting that you would ask this question. I know my mother has influenced me, as all our mothers do, in so many ways. And, you know, it's telling the stories, growing up hearing the stories that, you know, people tell each other, that we, you know, we're just naturally storytelling animals. And I think my mother's early influence in, you know, her gathering together with those women kind of has influenced, and seeing that she and the women were different when they were together than when they were, for example, there were three little girls. You know, my mother had three little girls, so she was different with us than she was with her women friends, different with my father or when they were at a party or when we were at in-laws. So she was playing all of these other roles, and here I see her more authentic, if you will, with these sitting with these women and telling these stories and just sharing their day and sharing their life. So it was really interesting to me because I also had a kind of complicated relationship with my mother. I think I was a little bit too much of the wild child for her. But I dedicated this book to my mother, and in the writing of it, worked through so many of those issues that I was carrying around, the stories that I was holding that weren't necessarily, that needed to be told, you know. And so I came through it on the other side. So I would say definitely my mother is so present in that book.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And
long answer.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned that it seemed like your mom was more authentic with that group of women. And it's interesting how we all have these different faces that we put on depending on the role, that the hat that we're wearing.
Absolutely. I know when I'm standing up being teacher, standing in the front of the room or leading a group, you know, it's different than I am when I'm just with my friends hanging out, and because I'm teacher, and so I have to have this certain aura of that I know something. And you think of all of the roles that you play, and not all of them. I'm not saying this is a bad thing that we do this, you know. But I think if we can keep it at the base of all of those roles that we play, that authenticity, if we can keep hold of that rather than letting it go and doing what we should be doing. I love teaching, and I want to keep doing that, but I know that that's a different, you know, that's the teacher me rather than the, you know, rather than the hanging out with friends me, or rather than the grandmother me. But it's that, you know, that deep inside part that feels true, so that I know I'm being true to whatever that role is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're saying, I mean, you'll still be authentic teacher, but you are not going to behave in the same way as if you're out in Vegas with your girlfriends. But
exactly.
It's not any less authentic.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is time already for a break. This hour is flying by. So right now we are speaking with Judy Reeves. She's author of A Writer's Book of Days, and also the book that we're talking about right now, Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness. And we're also joined by Hannah, the co-op student. She's sitting in today and may ask some more questions. We'll see how it goes. I loved her last question. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Have you voted in the 2015 Metro Vancouver Transportation and Transit plebiscite? Elections BC must receive your completed ballot package before 8 p.m. on Friday, May 29th. Or voters can drop off their completed ballot package before the close of voting at any plebiscite service office in Metro Vancouver. For more information, call Elections BC at 1-800-661-8683 or visit elections.bc.ca/plebiscite. This message is brought to you by Elections BC.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Beppe Crispin presents... Difficult music, harsh electronics, spoken word, cut up / collage, and a general Crispin weirdness. Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falandafafellowship.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined today by Judy Reeves. She's the author of Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness, which is so juicy and fun. I love it. And actually, we're joined by Hannah, who is a student sitting in today, and she's talking about maybe doing a show on mental illness and mental health. And I'm curious, Judy, in your experience with writing and teaching, what kind of impact does writing and journaling have on people's mental health?
There've been a lot of studies that have been, done on this, and so I can't, quote statistics and so on like that. But I know that, for example, journaling about traumatic experiences can actually increase the production of T cells and lower things about stress, that it can lower, stress levels in the body. I'm sorry, I couldn't find that technical word I wanted to pull out of my brain. It's still in there someplace. Remembering and telling our stories helps us. Like I say, I worked through all of this stuff with my mother issues when I was doing this writing. Telling stories will help us claim who we are and what matters to us, and just become more in touch with what matters, what we care about. Daily, I write a journal every morning, and I try to include in it like a sensory inventory, so that I get into my body every day through the writing too. And I write by hand, so that helps me with my breathing, and it just kind of grounds me and steadies me. So I think that it can help in so many different ways. And as I say, there's a bazillion, studies that show really how this helps mental health. Just telling our stories, writing our stories, and getting them out and putting them on the page and validating, this is what happened to me, this is what I experienced. So it's that validation of experience as well. Is how finding out how we feel about it that I think can contribute to a balance and a grounding in our lives.
Interesting, Judy, because I want to talk more about this sensory inventory that you mentioned, because it seems like it's the journaling is a different energy. Because as an example, today, just before the show, I'm like on Facebook venting about like what just happened with my boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't actually help me process really or calm down. If anything, it escalates me. So what's the difference between that kind of writing? I mean, it is the written word and you're expressing what happened, but what's the difference between that and what you do?
Facebook is a public forum.
Well, I'm talking about private messages, though.
And when we go back to talking about, playing these roles, there's a Judy Reeves who's on Facebook, and the things that she posts are not the things that, I try to be, interesting, I try to be clever, I try to find something I think somebody will care about. Whereas when I go to my journal, sometimes, I don't have to worry about anybody reading all my journals, because they would be so bored, they wouldn't be able to get through them. I get bored myself sometimes. But this is a private voice. I can write anything that I want to, and it doesn't matter if I navel gaze for an hour writing in my journal, if I can write through to get to something to the other side. I think Facebook, Twitter, all the social media, blogging, all of these ways we are public as opposed to private. And one of the things I think we need to be in touch with our authenticity, to be in that place, to know that wild place of us, is to have solitude and to be inward looking and to take measure of ourselves and say, this is what's going on with me. This is how I feel. Writing through it to the other side and writing the story of it. Does that make sense?
It does. I should just clarify, I was mostly meaning like private messages and texts, not like posting. I hate when people do that too on Facebook. So it was more private.
Yeah, I mean, even you have a little button that you can change your relationship status, right?
Oh, I don't even do that. It's too much trouble. But
I know. But the public post or the private texting and messaging back and forth like that. I think that once again, there's something about sitting quietly with your journal writing, and I like to write by hand, although I know some people find it just as fulfilling and expressive to write on the computer. I'm just kind of old school that way. I like to be in my body when I'm writing. There's still that difference of I'm writing this for myself, not to someone else. You know, this is what I have to say to me about myself. And sometimes without thought, we write and we discover, you know, the answers come or revelations come. We find things that we didn't know just by putting the words on the page. So to me, there's more opportunity to go deeper, I think.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's not an audience. No one's going to be reading. Even if you're just talking with one person, that's still
an
audience.
And even if that person is a very trusted friend, you know, dearest friend who would never betray you, there's still the idea of, someone else, an audience.
Mm. So I can imagine then, like, do you ever, because I think if there's something that I wouldn't even want to share with my best friend, I might be nervous to write that down. I mean, there aren't many things that I wouldn't share with my best friend, but do you have to protect your journal so it's not read?
I hope that whoever, you know, if you're living with someone or if, you know, in a relationship, that everybody understands that journals are private. I will confess to having read an ex-boyfriend's journal at one time. Oh, I hate to even say it, but it feels better to say it out loud to know that I have done that. And I was not glad that I did, by the way. So we do need to keep them in a private place, especially if we're writing things, especially if we've ever been betrayed by someone reading our journals, and I know a number of people have been, keep them private. But, you know, it's also just fine, and I have done this too, to write something, and then after it's written, you know, let it sit for a minute, and then maybe right away or the next day or a week or a year from then, tear those pages out, burn them, throw them away, get rid of them. It doesn't matter. You don't have to keep them just because you wrote them.
Oh, that's good to know. So if you get really wild and you confess about it in your journal, you can dispose of the
evidence.
Yeah,
you don't have to keep it. In fact, there's something to be said about, especially if it's something you've been carrying for a long time, maybe a secret of some kind. And I know that doing a kind of a ritual thing, like where you write it and then you burn it and then you take the ashes and throw them into a moving water, or you do something like that in a really intentional way, then you can release yourself of that. Like you've said it, you're letting it go. And there may come another time when you have to do it again and do it again because it keeps coming back. But I think each time we do it, it loses some of its power.
Mm. Well, Judy, it looks like Hannah has another question. Or is that just a note?
Good.
Do you want to ask it?
It was just a note, actually. It was connecting to what you guys were talking about, because in my class we had a similar discussion about how writing is a release, and it's just things that sometimes can't be said to someone is something you can write down, and your thoughts, a way to organize your thoughts and kind of keep everything in check. So it was just I was agreeing with you all.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's true. It's a way, and sometimes writing a letter to yourself, you know, like an unsent letter to yourself or to someone else, like you have something you really want to say to someone, but you don't know how to say it, or maybe they're not around anymore, you can't find them, maybe they're dead, and you want to say something. Writing an unsent letter to them in your journal can often fulfill that need and that want, and who knows what might you know, come from that.
Mm. Well, it's interesting how we can write in different voices. Like the letter to someone would be a different voice than if you're writing just your random thoughts or writing to yourself. But you also talk about writing with your wild voice. What does that mean?
To me, the wild voice is this voice that comes when we get our thinking self out of the way, when we, you know, when we're able to go like first thought, best thought, as they say, when we just can. It comes out, this voice. Maybe it's, this is where we get surprises. You know, this is the voice that after we write something, and this happens in my group, all groups all the time. They'll write something and they'll read it and they'll say, "I don't know where that came from." It's like it goes into that intuitive knowing place, rather than that thoughtful, "This is the word I want to use," or "This is how to construct the sentence." It's that raw, just unbounded, can be outrageous. It can be very dangerous. It can scare the hell out of us sometimes, like, "Whoa, I can't believe I wrote that. I don't want my mom to see that," you know, kind of thing. That wild voice can use language in a way that we wouldn't use if we were thinking or talking. It can be more creative, spontaneous. And this is not to say that writing is ready to go out into the world. It isn't. But what happens is that we get down what we didn't know we wanted to say. It's like the story. The words tell us. The language tells us what we want to say. The story gets written from the inside, because this is the story that wanted to be written. You know, instead of trying to think of plot points, just write what comes and see what's going to be on that page. And love the surprises of it. And then you step out of that wild voice or that intuitive writing and move to the other side, where then you have material you can work with and you can begin shaping and so on. But you have some really rich stuff there that you mightn't have got any other way. That's what I talk about when I'm talking about wild voice.
Hmm. Well, Judy, sometimes on this show I've had some authors say that their book was channeled. And then there's other techniques of like writing through your child's voice or whatnot, your inner child. Is that anything on the same lines, or is wild voice completely different?
Well, I guess it's a feeling of, you know, can you say that guy's name who invented this phrase that we all use and we know what it means, in the flow? You know what I mean? I can't ever say his name. Anyway, it's being in the flow. It's being in the moment. It's being in the now. You're not necessarily conscious of, because you're not thinking. Rather, you're working from intuition. And that's what I mean. I don't know if I would use the word channeled, but I guess that could work. You know, like, "I don't know where this came from" could kind of mean the same thing.
Okay.
There's no ego involved, I think, is one of the things I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inner knowing that we don't always know we know or want to say. Like when stories get out of hand and you say, "This is not what was supposed to happen. I had this all planned out according to my outline, but yet here the story goes off in its own way with the characters kind of taking over and saying, "Yeah, well, this is what we're doing. So get out of the way, because this is what's going to happen."
Hmm. Well, can we talk a little bit, Judy, about the importance of stories? I mean, you mentioned being under the table as a kid and hearing the
yeah.
stories. And how are stories different from just writing in your journal? Or, I mean, is there a difference between conveying like what happened and the facts of your day with a story?
You know, I think for me, a story can be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's like in the book I talk about, you know, you're shopping in the grocery store and you run into a friend and you stand beside the bananas for 15 minutes talking, you know, telling stories to each other. And so it's not necessarily the facts, but it's the... it's more, not, I don't want to say the emotion around the facts, but it's the interpretation or the response to what happened, I think, is more what I want to say is what story is. I mean, a story about you could be your grocery list. A story could be 6 words, or it could be, you know, 600 words. It doesn't have to have a particular structure. But stories, it's what we do to make sense of to make sense of something that happened or something. You know, I'm talking about writing from our own lives, not necessarily making up a story, you know, for fiction. I'm not talking about that kind of story. I'm talking about writing from memory, or this is the story of what happened to me today. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of like the story is the bones, and it's the skeleton, and it's dots that we kind of connect to find shape and meaning. Like those little kids' books that are connect the dots, and you look at them and you don't see what it is. They're just dots. And so then you start connecting them, and you say, oh, it's a horse, of course. I knew that. But we don't know it's a horse until we like tell the story of the horse.
Mm. So when you're writing stories, Judy, are you intending them for an audience, or again, is this all private? Because I have this image of it's different if other people are going to be reading it. You're going to write it differently than if it's just private and you may or may not even ever look at it again.
You know, you never can tell. Once you start writing these things, like the kind of explorations that I suggest in the book, you know, writing stories from memories or experiences, and mixing it with imagination even. So you write these things and you don't know what's going to happen to them. I'm the kind of writer who maybe I'll write something in my, I do writing practice too, which is just free writing, just to write on any kind of topic and just see where it goes. And so you never know whether those, then there's something there that you can take, lift out of that shape and give and make public. And other times you can start with something saying, oh, here's a story I want to tell, and I want to make it public, and I want to enter it, you know, I want to send it to this journal for publication. And so you still can start from that intuitive place, even if from the beginning you know that you're going to go for publication, but you want to get that raw stuff down first. And for me, and for what I tell my students too, throughout the whole process, it's like a two-step process. You go intuitive writing to see what wants to be said and put the words down on the page, and then you go to the other side of the brain to work with what's on the page. And then when you get to a place where you want to know more or you want to go deeper, then you can move back to the intuitive. So it's this back and forth process all along, the creative process is for me anyway, until finally then maybe I have something that I'm ready to show someone else and get their feedback on it as well for the public story. So there, to me, there's a difference from intention, but sometimes the surprises that happen when we're writing in our journal or just doing writing practice, and we say, gosh, I want to share this. I want to make this public. I want to have an audience for this piece, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does. You know, some people don't. They just want to write privately or maybe for their family. I get a lot of that. I just want to write my memoir, write the stories of my life and share it with my family. And I think it's beautiful. Any way people want to express themselves through writing or telling stories, I'm cheering them on, whatever they want to do.
Mm, I love that. Well, I can imagine that writing without the expressed intention of publishing it gives you a lot more freedom, and then you can always edit later. But if
exactly.
I'm writing a story that I know people are going to read, all of a sudden I'm automatically going to be more guarded and more careful about what I write, how I structure the sentences and all of that.
Right. And so the brain serving you well in some cases as an editor, you know, and making choices and judgments and measuring one against the other, that will serve you, but maybe not necessarily in the beginning when you just want to get the rush of words out, you know, where you just want to get it on the page. The book that I wrote, I worked both ways with this book. I, with everything that I write, I work both ways. Not necessarily kind of knowing this is the structure, this is the outline, this is the topic, but what am I going to say about that? I don't know. Let's see. What do I have? Sometimes I just ask myself that question. What do I want to say about this? You know, what do I have to say about this? And just start writing it. Mind you, not everybody likes to do it my way. I have to say that. I have a lot of people who say, oh, my God, Judy, what a waste of time. I do all of that writing, you know, writing outside the story. Oh, and when I could be just writing the story itself. And I'm saying, just go for it. Whatever works for you.
Awesome. Well, it's time for another break. And after the break, I'd like to maybe talk about some of the exercises that you recommend. All right, so we are joined right now by Judy Reeves. She is the author of Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness. And if you want to get in touch with her, you can go to judyreeveswriter.com. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Has mental illness or addiction touched your life? You might be interested in coming out to the Kaleidoscope, UBC's first and only student-created, peer-run mental health support group at the university's Vancouver campus. They offer a stigma-free place for people to share their stories with others going through similar experiences. The Kaleidoscope meets every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Center for Student Involvement in Brock Hall.
Learn more at the-kaleidoscope.com.
Seymour Radio is devoted to the education and literacy for the Persian-speaking communities and those of you interested in connecting with arts and literature of people from Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Georgia, Armenia, Pakistan, and India. From environmental fairy tales to epic mythologies, poetry, scholarly pieces, to folklore and music, Seymour lands in as your mythological storyteller every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, at CITR 101.9 FM from Vancouver.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined by Judy Reeves today. She's the author of Wild Women, Wild Voices, Writing from Your Authentic Wildness. And we also have Hannah in the studio. She's here as a student, a co-op student with high school, and she may ask some questions if anything else comes up for her. So, Judy, if someone, I know a lot of people out there kind of say, I'm not a writer, I'm not artistic or creative. Where does someone like that start out? What's the first step for them?
The first step is to take back those words because they're not true. Everyone is creative. You know, the idea that we have to, art with a capital A or creative with a capital C, if you don't write and you're not making poetry, or if you're not intending to publish, then you're not creative. That's one of the basic things of all human beings, I think. And you probably agree with this too, Marie, that we are all creative. So taking that back and telling ourselves, I don't know what I can create. I'm going to just see, you know, and getting easy with that. So what do they do? I try to offer like lead-ins to the writing, or ask questions that someone can answer, so that'll give them the opening to get into it and to just begin. And I always say, just write the words that want to come. Don't stop to think. Just put one word in front of the other as they want to come, and write for however it comes out. And don't worry about that. And don't worry about any of the grammar rules. You can clean all of that stuff up later. just, you know, and write some details, do the sensory, you know, I talked about the sensory inventory before, grab a hold of some of the senses and just write, just begin one word and then the next word and then the next word in your own voice, not trying to be anything else or sound like anybody else. So, you know, that's how we do it in our writing practice groups, and I've been doing those for more than 20 years, where we just all come together, open up our notebooks, somebody gives a prompt, and we begin writing. And all the stories will be different. And people will, you know, some people will discover once they get in there and start doing it that they are a writer. Oh, you know, I'm writing these things. I kind of like it. You know, they'll surprise themselves if they can get the ego out of the way and the censor, the one that says, you know, you can't say that. Good girls don't write that. And the critic, the one who says you're no good, you know, all of those voices, if we can just get those out of the way and our own ego out of the way and just let it come.
Hmm. Well, Judy, would you walk us through the sensory exercise?
When I talk about doing a sensory inventory,
yes,
it's really just working with the senses. Sometimes, for example, in the morning when I'm sitting at my table with my cup of coffee and my journal, and I'm not quite sure, I've got so many things that are in my mind that I want to write about, I can get paralyzed by those infinite choices of where to start. So I look out the window to see if the mourning doves are on the wire again today, or can I hear the bird song, or is that my refrigerator I hear? And just go through each of the senses and write down what it is that I'm experiencing through that sense. What does my notebook feel like right now? What does the coffee taste like? What do I hear? And just using each one of those and expand, and one of them is going to catch. And maybe it's going to be a memory that will come when I see, this happened to me the other day. The mourning doves hadn't been on the wire for a while. I have a feeling they might have been with their nest somewhere. And I remembered a house I used to live in where a mourning dove created a nest in one of our hanging baskets. And how beautiful and peaceful, and then she abandoned it, and how I got the chair out and climbed up the chair to look inside and see if there were eggs in there. And so that whole memory came just from looking out my window and seeing those. So that sensory detail, bringing that sensory, you know, bringing the senses into the writing can open up memories, can open up experiences, and also we are in our bodies then. And I was going to say something else, but I think I talked long enough.
No, that's okay. I'm enjoying it.
Well, what I wanted to say is, as readers, you know, if you're writing for publication, for example, readers, then this is how they will enter into the story also, through, you know, through their senses. So if you don't just say it was a hot day, but if you describe the heat and how it felt on the body, then the reader will say, oh yeah, me too, and they'll get right in there with you. And so it's a two-way thing, you know, three-way really, because it opens up memories, it also keeps us in touch with our body, and it also invites readers into the story.
Hmm. That's interesting, because I notice how authors do that and how it really draws you in. But when I'm writing, I mean, I guess maybe just practicing that sensory inventory would help, because I would just be like, it was a hot day. And I know that's totally boring.
A friend of mine wanted to write. She was going to write about a time she went to Nepal with her sister. And she said, oh, I have those journals. It'll be great. I can get those and I'll have all of that detail. And she opened up her old journals and it said something like, the mountains are so big. It's so beautiful. So there was none of that detail that she thought was there. So it takes practice. So sometimes I say, okay, today I'm just gonna spend 5 minutes, I'm gonna just do a sensory inventory of this particular memory. Like if it's a memory I wanna write about a time I took a road trip with my boyfriend. So I'm gonna write about the time we stopped in Kentucky and went to the flea market, and I'm gonna do this is what I remember seeing, feeling, tasting, touching, you know, and do each of them. Just kind of, yeah, the inventory. And then when I write the whole thing, now I have this to pull from. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little more time when you're just writing even a note to a friend, as you were doing this morning, you know, that private message on Facebook. If you just take that extra moment to, instead of just saying it was hot, to give some kind of description to it, some kind of a physical response, you know, to the heat or to whatever it was.
Cool. Yeah, no, I love what happens when you're just there, you're reading a book, and all of a sudden you're in that scene rather than just reading about it.
I love getting lost like that. I remember once I was playing sick from home from school so I could finish reading a book, and I live in Southern California, and it was a Russian book, and there was a lot of snow, and I remember finally closing the book, and I was so surprised when I looked out the window and saw palm trees, because that's not where I was in my body. I was in Russia with the snow.
That's so cool. Well, Hannah has a question. Are you ready?
Yeah, it's kind of a big question, but it was going off of what Marie said and how some people don't feel like they can be writers or they're creative. And I wanted to know, I was curious, if you always knew that you were a writer, or if you had to work for it, and if you always knew that's what you wanted to do, how did you go about pursuing that as a profession? Because I know it's probably not an easy thing to do.
That's a great question. Thanks.
Yeah, it is a good question. And I am really lucky that I knew from early on that I was going to be a writer. And I can remember exactly when it happened. I was in third grade, and my teacher, we were playing with spelling words, and we were to put the spelling words into sentences. And I remember the thrill of putting, I used the word carrot, and it was so much, it was so thrilling to write a sentence using the word carrot there was a rabbit and I, you know, all of this, and I really enjoyed it. And then what happened for me was the teacher said, now I want to read you some of Judy's sentences. So I was getting validation for what already felt good for me. My heroine at that time was a comic strip character named Brenda Starr, girl reporter, and she's not around anymore. This is many, many years ago, when I was a girl, and I always wanted to grow up to be Brenda Starr, girl reporter, and travel the world to exotic places and write stories about them. So I knew early on that I was going to be a writer, and it has been kind of the driving passion that has led me through life. And I did start off working for a newspaper finally after I had these other little jobs, you know. I did this in school too. I was on the newspaper staff and wrote a lot of stories, wrote some plays in drama class, all of those kinds of things. And then did get to work for the newspaper, and then I got to work in radio and television and advertising and all of these commercial ways to use my writing. I got to work for a nonprofit organization where I traveled to developing countries and did photography and wrote stories about the people the organization was serving, which was really fulfilling for me. So for me, being a writer didn't always necessarily mean that I would have this place I would go every day and write stories. My writing was more of a commercial. I want to say commercial because I earned a living as a writer, and it's possible to do that. And then somehow or another, I wound up teaching writing. I'm not exactly sure how I evolved to that, because I never thought I would be a teacher. But it was, yeah, early on. And a lot of people don't know early on that this is what they want to do. But you know, when I teach my classes and I ask people if they, you know, when they knew they were going to be a writer, I hear that story of when they were 8 years old or 9 years old, and then they knew it then, and many of them. Because it's not an easy way to earn a living, and, you know, I've heard this said, if you want, you know, anybody can earn a living as a poet, you just have to lower your living standards. So being a writer is not an easy way to make a living. And so once again, we go back to this passion and this authentic self. You can still earn a living doing something else, you know, having another career, but save time, make time for the writing or whatever kind of art it is that you want to do. That's the important thing, is that you don't set the whole thing aside.
Hmm. I love how just that one question brought up so much, and just all these emotions that I noticed as I was listening to you speak, and the power of the questions, I think, that you ask yourself when you're writing. I mean, you just mentioned one question earlier about just what do I want to say about that today?
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost out of time, so I want to ask.
Gosh, really?
Yeah, we just have a few minutes left. So I'm just I'm just curious.
You're good, Marie.
Aw, thank you. And I thought I wasn't going to make it through the show today. So yeah, you've been a wonderful guest, and I really enjoyed having Hannah here. It's a different dynamic when there's someone else who can ask great questions as well. So I'm just wondering, Judy, what you'd like to focus on for the last 5 minutes of the show.
Well, we've talked about so much. I think what I was just talking about at the end of Hannah's question about we can't always earn a living doing what is our passion and our love, but we can always have that as part of our life, no matter what, and to be able to know what it is that you care about so deeply and that you have to express some way or another, whether it's, you know, writing or whether it's any kind of art or whether it's, you know, painting the kitchen, I don't know, whatever it is, we have to make time to do that instead of saying as soon as. For the longest time, this is what they were going to put on my tombstone because I said it so much, as soon as. As soon as, but there is no as soon as, there's only now. And so to know what it is that makes your heart beat fast, you know, to know what it is that really gives you pleasure and where you know you are so connected to your authentic self, yes, when you say yes, when every part of your body says yes, and every part of your soul is saying yes, then you must make the time to give to that. Because of what it gives to you, and also because of what it gives to the world. When each of us is doing that thing that calls us, that calls our name, that has our name, when we do that, we make the world a better place. And that's what the authenticity is, I think. Mm. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Well, I'm just curious too, Judy. It sounds like you've had such an exciting life and lived with so much passion. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice for Hannah, who's just getting started with her career.
Hannah, I what you're doing now, you know, I want to find out about how to do radio. So you take the steps to go and do it. I think having the courage to do the next thing and to ask questions and to find mentors, which was so important for me, to find someone who I want what they have. I want to know what they know and to ask. I'm so proud of my granddaughter. She's just gone by herself. She's 20 years old. She's just gone by herself to Ireland, and she can stay until the money runs out. And I'm just so proud of her for doing that. And so I would say, yeah, you know, finding people who you can ask, and then having the courage to step forward and do that thing. Good for you, Hannah.
Thank you very much. That was really sweet of you. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's just about time for DJ Chris Arific to come in with Parts Unknown. Judy Reeves, Wild Women, Wild Voices, writing from your authentic wildness. How can people get in touch with you if they want to get the book or learn more about what you're up to?
They can reach me at Judy at judyreeveswriter.com.
Awesome. And where's the best place to pick up your book?
You can pick it up at most any bookstore. I believe in supporting indie bookstores, but I also like those other bookstores too. And of course, it's on Amazon. It's published by New World Library, and they can. I think they can find it pretty much anywhere. If you go on my website, judyreeveswriter.com, you'll find the book there, and you'll find links to various places that you can get it.
Awesome. All right. Well, it's time to say goodbye. Is there anything else you want to say, Hannah?
No, just thank you for letting me sit in, Marie. It's been really, really great, and it was nice talking to you, Judy.
It was great to meet you over the radio too, Hannah, and good luck as you pursue this.
Thank you.
I'm on your side, cheering you on.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you, Judy. Thank you so much. And I want to send lots and lots of love to you. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Parts Unknown here on CITR. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This has been Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And I want to, send you lots and lots of love. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Music, drumming, dance, transformation, an expression of the heart through voice, the heart opening to love, channeling of intention, kirtan community, yoga culture, bhakti, ancient traditions, modern environment, intentional community, the continuation of story, the ever-evolving mythology, reconnecting with the divine through voice, through song, through mantra, an exploration of chanting. Join us every Thursday at 4 p.m. on CATR 101.9 FM for Mantra. Or check us out on the web at mantraradio.co.